I think the clarity of Rabbi Bleich's halachic mind and writing is something that has brought shevach on the Torah community in toto. And we're very blessed that we have scholars like Rabbi Bleich, whose capacity to present complex and knotty halachic issues in clear and concise terminology for the advantage of us all. Rabbi Bleich has been for some years now a distinguished Rosh Yeshiva at our yeshiva. Though I had the pleasure and privilege to learn with him in the summer about 18 years ago in Eretz Yisrael, philosophy of the Rambam.
Different incarnation.
Yeah. I only want to say one thing about Rabbi Bleich that probably not many people here are aware of. We all know him as a Rosh Yeshiva, as a distinguished scholar in general in the field of Jewish medical ethics. I've gotten over the past 7 or 8 years to know Rabbi Bleich in a different capacity. My parents moved about 8 years ago from Queens into the East Side, and they often are mispalim at Rabbi Bleich's shul. And to me, to see the special relationship that Rabbi Bleich has a relationship that Rabbi Bleich as a pulpit rav has developed with my parents, and to see the esteem that my parents as balabatim have for Rabbi Bleich behind the public image of Rabbi Bleich as a scholar, Rosh Yeshiva, lecturer, etc., has given me a new insight and much deeper appreciation for who Rabbi Bleich is. So without any further ado, may I present Rabbi Bleich.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Weil.
May I have Rabbi say? I'll attempt in the rather brief time that I have to present Rashi Prokim, the head notes, as it were, with regard to the problems and the issues with regard to surrogate motherhood as I see them. And for that reason, I'd like to begin with... You won't get on the tape, otherwise I have to... I'll pretend it's Shabbos. For that reason, I'd like to begin with one point that has nothing to do with surrogate motherhood per se, but relates in general to artificial procreation in its totality, all the various modern methods which are available, which can lead to procreation in ways that are other than natural. And let me begin by telling a story from my early days as a very young rov. When I first came to my shtela over 20 years ago, I was approached by a person who was then also rather young. Apparently the couple were not able to have children, and he wanted my advice with regard to adoption. For reasons that have absolutely nothing to do with technicalities of halacha, I thought that the couple were not suited to be adoptive parents, and I tried to discourage them without spelling out my precise reservations. But the gentleman was not very impressed, and he kept pressuring me to see what I could do for him in terms of finding him a baby. Until a couple of months afterwards, he came back to me and he said he's no longer interested, he's not going to adopt the child. He thanks me for all that I didn't do and says that he's no longer concerned. And I asked him what happened. It turns out that the gentleman is what I call a neo-chosid, one of these modern people, but still has an attachment with a rebbe. And he proceeded to go to the rebbe for similar kind of advice. And the Rebbe responded as a true psychologist by asking him, "Un vem in vilte do atoiviton? Zich zu der Rebbeinu Shalala." And once the individual became aware of the fact that actually what he was concerned was not the performance of any great mitzvah, but a form of self-gratification, legitimate as it may be, and once he was able to perceive the matter in that light, he suddenly lost interest. And I think that it's a point that has to be borne in mind with regard not only to surrogate motherhood, but with regard to artificial procreation in general. And that is, it's necessary to understand the nature of the mitzvah of Pirya Verivya. So let me begin with a very brief, I hope, analysis of the nature of the mitzvah of Pirya Verivya. Simply in terms of svara, if Pirya Verivya is a mitzvah which is incumbent upon the male of the species and not upon the female, it's very difficult for me to understand how the Torah can command an individual to perform an act which is not at all within his power. Modern science has done wonderful things, but it has not yet discovered a way for a male to carry a fetus for 9 months. Modern science has not yet found ways for men to experience chevle leda. In what sense, then, can the mitzvah Pirya Verivya be incumbent upon a male? Tosfos in Bava Basra, Tosfos in Chagiga, on the Gemara Chatziyev, the Chatzi Ben Chirin, where the Gemara says, Kofin es Rabbi to be Meshacher because there's no other Eitzah. Tosfos asks a very simple question. Tosfos says, even though the individual is the Chatziyev, the Chatzi Ben Chirin, and there's a love of Lo Yekodesh, but why not apply the principle of Esedech Leisase, let him be over the love, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Pirya Verivya? And Tosfos answers, that's not the idnei, that he's over the lav at Tchilas Bia, and the mitzvah of Pirya Verivya he's not mekayim until Gemar Bia. Now obviously, and indeed the Mitzvah Chinuch asks as a kasha on Tosfos, but all the achronim formulate Tosfos' position in a manner which is entirely logical. If we are dealing with a situation in which it is the actual leida, the birth of the child, which constitutes the fulfillment of Pirya Verivya, then Tosfos' kasha and teretz do not make sense. You have a span not between Tchilas Bia and Gemar Bia, but you have a 9-month period of gestation before the mitzvah is mekuyom. How can it be an esedech leisas under such circumstances? It's quite obvious from both the kasha and the teretz of Tosfos that Tosfos understands that the mitzvah of Pirya Verivya, which is a mitzvah which is mutal on the zohar, is not a mitzvah to give birth to children and not even a mitzvah to sire children. It is the sexual act per se, it is the act of bia, which constitutes the kiyum of Pirya Verivya. And were there not this problem of Tchilas Bia and Gemar Bia, then the Bia itself would involve an Esedech Eloisas and the Lav of Liyekodesh would be Nitche for the Kiyum of the Mitzvah of Pirya Verivya. And if you look at the Lashon of the Rambam in Hilchus Ishus and Perek Tesvov Halacha Aleph, says the Rambam, the individual has not yet been Chayim Pirya Verivya, Chayiv Livoel B'chol Oino Ad Sheyir Leibonim. The Chiyuv of Pirya Verivya has nothing to do, except in a very peripheral way, with the actual birth of children. The Chiyuv of Pirya Verivya is to be Boyel Bechol Eino V'Eino, and the Eino is spelled out in terms of the occupation of the husband. The individual who is Boyel Bechol Eino has a Chiyuv of Pirya Verivya, and it's theoretically possible for an individual to be Boyel Bechol Eino V'Eino, and the woman is a bas bonim, but for whatever reason children are not born, that individual has not been mevatel the mitzvah of Pirya Verivya. On the contrary, he has a kiyum of Pirya Verivya. However, once children are born, at that point there is no chiyuv mitzad Pirya Verivya. There may be other chiyuvim of sheves, there may be a chiyuv of ve'ervatanat yodecho, but the chiyuv to be boyo b'chol eino v'eino extends only until such time as children are born. But the chefts of the mitzvah, the actual kiyum of the mitzvah, is the bia itself, the sexual act. For that reason, when the Gemara says in Shabbos with regard to the Yom Hadin, the questions that will be put to the individual, he is not asked whether he has had a ben ubas, He is asked, Osakto b'piriyah v'rivyah. The asek in piriyah v'rivyah itself constitutes the kiyum mitzvah, and it is yitochin that for reasons of Russian roulette or whatever, he is boil b'ayna amur b'teirah, and he's never had a child. But he has sof kol sof been mekayim the mitzvah piriyah v'rivyah, because the mitzvah is to do that which the male can do. The only thing that the male can do is to be boil b'ayna amur b'teirah, and that in itself constitutes the kiyum of piri verivya. There is no chiyuv upon the male to do anything other than to marry a bas bonim and to be boil in the eino hamur b'teirah. While there may be obligations in halacha to engage in heroic measures to preserve life, there is no obligation to engage in heroic measures in order to assure the gestation of life. Insofar as Pir Verivia is concerned, it is the chefts of the bia, which is the subject of the mitzvah, and nothing else. So clearly, insofar as the male is concerned, there is no obligation with regard to other artificial forms of procreation, since the mitzvah is only the mitzvah to be boil in the Eino Hamur B'Teirah. Now, of course, he has an obligation to marry a woman who is a bas boni. By the same token, the woman has no obligation to anything which goes beyond the normal and natural act. She certainly is under no obligation to submit to a surgical procedure, which is what is involved in many of these forms of artificial procreation, in order to achieve conception and pregnancy. That is evident from Tosis and Psochim. Tosis asks a kasha with regard to a tumtum. A tumtum may be a zohar. If he were to be nikra, nimtza zohar, he would be a zohar vadai. And Tosis asks a kasha that in terms of the mitzvah of milah, why isn't there an obligation to do an abdominal incision to determine whether or not he is a zocher in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of milah? And Tosis says there is no such obligation. The analysis of Tosis, I believe, is very simple, that the surgical procedure is at least equal to chemish memeinai, and an individual is not obligated for any kiyum mitzvah to expend more than chemish nechosim. Memele, the inconvenience, the tzar, and the risk associated with any surgical procedure goes beyond that which the individual is obligated in terms of kiyum hamitzvah. So that insofar as many of these procedures are concerned, there is no obligation to seek those procedures as a form of kiyum of piri verivya. That leaves the problem in a case where there is an infertile woman, whether the husband is obligated to do something else, namely to divorce her and to marry a bas bonim. That's a different shaila and a different topic. Suffice it to say that Bezdin is not kaife for a kiyum of piri verivya, and if you look in the Pischei Tshuva, you will find a list of heterim, which may or may not apply to specific situations, but that becomes a different shaila entirely. Having said that, let me then go to the question of surrogate motherhood specifically, and again try to analyze the problems as I perceive them. First of all, surrogate motherhood involves the insemination of a woman, generally a married woman, using the semen of a male other than her husband. That is reduced to the problem of AID, artificial insemination, using a donor for purposes of procuring sperm. Question is whether is AID mutter, or is AID osir? The short answer is, of course, AID is osir. The only question is, why? And what is the nature of the isser? But I suppose that before one talks about whether it's mutter, it's osir, one probably should at least mention the question of whether it is possible to impregnate a woman on the basis of AID. Is it possible for a woman to become pregnant other than derech bia? And if the answer is no, then I suppose we don't have to analyze the baby M case anymore, because we know it's a fiction. It can't exist. In terms of sources, there is a Gemara in Chagigah which says very clearly that AID or its equivalent in antiquity was certainly within the realm of empirical possibility. The Gemara asked the shaila of a mu'uberis l'kohen gadol, whether a woman who is a muberis is permitted to a kohen gadol or not, and the Gemara's question deals with a woman who purports to be a psula, and the shaila is whether she is really a psula or whether she can be a psula and still have engaged in sexual intercourse. And the Gemara cites the Maimer of Shmuel, who says that he can be boil kama bilis b'loy dam. And the Gemara Shaila is a dilma de Shmuel is shchicha, omar lehu de Shmuel is shchiach, the chayshinon shemo bambati ibro. And this chayshinon isn't the chayshinon lechumer, but a chayshinon lekula. Says the Gemara, if we find a woman who is pregnant and still has psulim, we assume that she became pregnant bambatio, in the bathhouse. Somebody has been mazri onto the water has entered the vaginal tract, and she has become pregnant as a result. That's one source. The second source is the Alpha Beso de Ben Sira, which is cited by the Mefarshim and Evan Ezer. The Medrash tells us that Ben Sira himself was the son of Yirmiyahu Hanovi, and that Yirmiyahu was Matal Zera into Anambatya, and his daughter became pregnant as a result, so that we have two incidents in our sources of pregnancy which occurs without bia, or as it is sometimes known, conception sine concubito, immaculate conception. As you might expect, there were some sources who had reason to decry the possibility of this existing, and they maintained that it never happened. And the Mishnah Lamelech in particular brings raya that the sugyim in Chagigah is shaloy aliba dehilchase, shaloy aliba dehilchase, because in terms of the kevius halacha, it's impossible. The Mishnah Lamelech's basic raya is from the halacha that says that if a man disappears for a period of 12 months or more, the child which is born in his absence is presumed to be a mamzer, and the Mishnah Melech's kasha is an obvious one. If chayshinon shema bambati ibra, maybe the child was born as a result of the woman having immersed herself in the bathhouse, in which case he takes it for granted the child should not be a mamzer. Concludes the Mishnah Melech, that's a machlekes hasugyas, and in terms of halacha, the halacha is that it can't happen. The halacha is machriya the mitzius. Suffice it to say that most Achrayim disagree. Most Achrayim come to the conclusion that the Sugi in Chagigah is authoritative and that the possibility certainly exists. So if the possibility exists, one then has to analyze whether or not it is mutter. Insofar as the permissibility of artificial insemination involving a donor is concerned, I presume it's most, although I haven't really attempted to count the shittas on both sides. It seems to me that the authoritative position in halacha is that there cannot be an iser of niyuf, an iser of eshes ish, or any other isur involving gili aroyos without a sexual act. That unless there is a sexual act, there is no prohibition of the isur of gili aroyos. The major source for that position is the Hagos Smak, which is cited by the Bach and by the Taz in Yerideya and by the Beis Shmuel in Evan Ezer as well. The Hagos Smak, who, as quoted by the Rabbeinu Peretz, who says that isha nida yechol lishkev asadine balo, however nishoris misadinim sheshochav aleihem ish acher. Women are particular, says the Hagos Smak, not to lie or to recline upon sheets that have been used by another male, by a male other than their own husbands. Says the Hagos Smak, the reason for this is because she may become pregnant in this manner, and nimtzo och neisei achosei. There is the fear that in the course of time the child will grow to maturity, will not realize that his father is not the husband of his mother, but that the real father is this male who had used those sheets at some previous time, and our concern is with a possible incestuous relationship. Since there is no such possibility in the case of a woman who is a nida, says the Hagos Smak, that the woman may use the sheets of her husband during the time when she is a nida, since there is no problem problem of Och Nesei Achese. And Agos Mak is cited by Achrenim as establishing the point that there cannot be any Isra of Gili Aroyes without a Maise Bia. Hence, in the case of Anida, there is no problem of incest. Insofar as the sexual act is concerned, there is no sexual act. The penetration of the genital tract by the semen of the husband does not constitute an Isser. Hence, there is no reason why she cannot use the Sadini Balo, and she is Nisoris only from the Sadinim of Ish Acher, and only because of the question with regard to possible incest, not because of the possibility of Gili Arois, not because of the possibility of an Isser Seita Labailo, because all of those concerns arise only when there is a sexual act. That is the position which is espoused by many, if not most Achrenim, certainly by the authoritative Peskim. However, there are a number of Peskim who clearly disagree. Chief among them, I would say, is the Maarche Lev. The Maarche Lev in Simin Ayin Gimel quotes a Ramban in Chumash. A Ramban on the Posik Vel Eishes Amisecho Leisiten Shechovtecho Lezora. The Ramban points out that in this case there is a difference in terminology. The Isur of Eishes Amisecho Leisiten Shechovtecho Lezora occurs in the long list of forbidden connections in Parshas Achrimais. The list begins, Ish Ish Shekol Sher Besorei Leisikrevu Legalis Ervo, and with regard to all of these surim which are enumerated prior to the Isur of Eishes Ish in that parsha, the loshen of each posuk is a loshen of Gilui Ervo, which is simply a euphemism for the sexual act. Subsequent to the parasha of Eishes Amisecho, subsequent to the parasha of Eishes Ish, there is another posuk, Vel Zohar Lisitein, Vel Zohar Lisishkav Mishkevei Isha, Isur Beloshen Shechiva. The only Isur in this context, which is not in the Loshen of Gilui Erva or in the Loshen of Shechiva, is the Isur of an Eishes Ish. And here, the literal translation of the pasuk is, "Valeishes amisecho leisiten shechovtecho." Don't give your semen lezora litomabo. The pasuk uses an expression which ignores the sexual act entirely and concentrates instead upon the ejaculate. As the Isser is couched in its technical terminology, it sounds as if there is an Isser with regard to the insertion or the placement of the ejaculate in the genital tract of the female. And the Ramban is medayik the Loshen for purposes of explaining the Tam HaMitzvah, for Tam HaDekrah, and tells us that in the terms of the Isser of Eishes Ish, the Torah is concerned that the parentage not be known. That the net result of this is one will not know who the father is. The Maarche Lev cites the Ramban and understands the Ramban quite literally. The Maarche Lev maintains that artificial insemination using a donor other than the husband constitutes an act of Gilui Aroyes, no different from Gilui Aroyes involving an ordinary, normal, natural sexual act. So much so that he says that if an individual will ask a doctor to perform this on his behalf, the donor asks the doctor to do it on his behalf, says he, the donor is over a chiyuv mises bezdin, and here the category of ein shliach l'dvar avera doesn't exist because the doctor is a lav bar chiyuva. He can't be over, therefore the mishalach is over. For the Maarche Lev, this is gilui aroyes pure and simple, the iser of an eishes ish to another man, and he's very clear that there will be a chiyuv mises bezdin. It would seem to me at least, that even according to those poskim who disagree with the Maarche Lev in terms of the technicality of halacha, with regard to the Einish, but afal pikein, the comments of the Ramban are certainly germane with regard to the spirit of the Isser. After all, the Torah had a reason for assering an Eishes Ish to men other than her husband. This is the reason. And if you can find a way to circumvent the technicality of the Isser and escape the Mises Bezdin, so the same Ramban says, condition to you, there is such a thing as a novel versus a Torah. It certainly is a violation of the spirit of the Isser, if not the Isser itself. Which is why I have elsewhere used the phrase that artificial insemination involving a donor and hence surrogate motherhood is, in terms of halacha, if not adultery, at least quasi-adultery. By quasi-adultery, I mean the comments of the Ramban as establishing the underlying basis, the rationale of the Yisr, and it certainly is a violation of the basis of the Yisr. In addition to the Marchei Lev, the Eitzer HaPoskim cites two Achrenim who maintain that there is a technical violation of the Yisr of Eishes Ish, the Bar Levoi and the Chendas Yechiel are both quoted in the Eitzer HaPoskim. Those are also quoted by Reb Moshe, who dismisses them, Mach Nimtza of Eitzer HaPoskim B'Shem Bar Levoi the Chendas Yechiel in a Klum. Rav Moshe dismisses them as a neklum, but my point in stressing those two shittas is that if you begin looking at the vast literature which exists with regard to artificial insemination, you find that these can hardly be dismissed as a shita dechuya or as a das yochid. In addition to those two sides in the Yitzhar play scheme, there is also the Marchei Lev and Rabbi Yemeir Bloch, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who wrote an article in the Pardes and also maintained that we're dealing with an Isser of Gili Aroyas. And there are others who maintain the same position as well. In addition to those who maintain that there is a prohibition of Gili Aroyas Mamish, there is an article by Rav Henkin Zecherno Levracha that appeared in Hamor. Rav Henkin establishes two other Isserim, which may not be in the category of Gili Aroyas, but they aren't very far removed from Gili Aroyas. Rav Henkin analyzes both parashas of Pur Revu, the first one said to Odom and the second to Noach, and says that the one given to Noach was given to Noach B'tzeisa min Hateva when he left with his family, and the second Pur Revu is Be'ikroi, a commandment with regard to Yichus Mishpoche. And artificial insemination using a donor clearly bemuddles the Yichus Mishpoche. Hence, says he, artificial insemination isn't simply not just a kiyum of Piri Verivya, but constitutes a kind of a lava bomi klal asay, a beetle of Piri Verivya, an isra asay, as if the person is biyadayim, being mevatel the kavonas hatere with the tzivui of Piri Verivya. Moreover, says Rav Henkin, even if, with regard to Gili Aroyos, there is no Isser without the sexual act, because it's the Maisa Bia that the Torah assers, that's true with regard to Gili Aroyos, where you find either a Loshen of Shechiva or a Loshen of Gilui Erva. However, with regard to Lo Yekodesh and Lo Yisiyeh Kedesha, there is no similar language. The Isser of Kodesh, the Isser of Kedesha, the Isser of prostitution, says Rav Henkin, does not involve a sexual act and is not contingent upon a sexual act. So, according to Rav Henkin, artificial insemination using a donor other than the husband may not be Gilui Aroyos, it may not be adultery, but for Rav Henkin, it is prostitution. So, in terms of the permissibility of the procedure, it seems to me that either we are dealing with something which is mamish osur mitzat adin, according to many, if not the majority of poskim, but at least many, it involves adultery, or for Rav Henkin, an isser of lo yekodesh or an isser of lo yisiyeh kedesha, and even for those who disagree with regard to those particular prohibitions, nevertheless, less in terms of the Ramban in his comments on the Pasuk in Chumash, it certainly seems to be a quasi-Yisur. It certainly seems to be a violation of the nature of the marital relationship, which is the basic underlying rationale of the Yisur of Gilui Aroyos and the Yisur of Niyuf with an Eishes Ish. Putting aside, at least for a moment, the question of whether or not the act is permissible. When dealing with a situation such as baby M, one is dealing post factum with the bidyeved. The baby is now born. The second shaila is, what is the status of the uber? Is the uber a mamzer, or is the uber not a mamzer? And here again, the source that is most often cited is the same Hagos Smak. The Hagos Smak was concerned in the case of a woman who sits al Sadina Bailo, that with the passage of time, there may arise a situation of Och Neisei Achesei. We may have a situation involving an incestuous relationship. The Hagos Smak was not concerned with the Kashrus of the Vlad itself. Apparently, according to the Hagos Smak, the uber was entirely kosher. And that is the source which is cited most often as supporting the position that just as there is no prohibition of Gilui Aroyos, so also insofar as the child that is born is concerned, the child is not a mamzer. Conversely, the argument would be made that those who maintain that this is Gilui Aroyos would also maintain that the child who is born of this relationship is a mamzer. So that the question of the kashrus of the Vlad is at least in part contingent upon whether the act itself is to be considered an act of Gilui Aroyos or not. However, in addition to those who maintain that the act is an act of Gilui Aroyos and hence the child born thereof is a mamzer, there is a tshuva of the late Rav Yankov Mordechai Breisch in the Chelkas Yaakov. Rav Breisch in the Chelkas Yaakov maintains that according to Tosfos and Yevamos Daf Ayin Zayin Omid Beis, even if there is no Isser of Gilui Aroyos, the child can still be a mamzer. Tosfos is concerned with the Mandorma and the Gemara maintains that Eved v'akum above as Yisrael havlad mamzer. Asks Tosfos, Bishleime Eved, there's at least a lav. There's a lav of Lo Yeh Kodesh. However, Akum Habo Abbas Yisroel, what's the Yisr? According to the Mandoma, the Lois Eschatin Bom applies only to the Zayin Amin, but not to other Akum. If there is no Yisr, at least no Yisr Midiraisa, why should the child be a mamzer? Answer Stasis V'yishloimar, the Afagaf the Bias Heterhi Havi Mamzer, Kivin the Leitafsi Kiddushin. The Yisod of that Teretz of Tosfos has it that the question of Mamzerus of an Uber is not contingent upon a Bias Isur, but is contingent upon whether or not the father and the mother were individuals between whom Kiddushin is Tosfos or Kiddushin is not Tosfos. If they have no capacity to contract a marriage one with the other, as is the case of Akum and Eved, says Tosfos, according to that man, Omar Havlad Mamzer. So, according to that Teretz of Tosfos, there is certainly the possibility that a child could be a Mamzer even though there was no Bias Iser. I will not be Marich in whether the Rai is refutable or whether the Rai is only according to one man, Omar, not a Libet Ilchase, but certainly in Tosfos we see the possibility that the Vlad can be a Mamzer even if there was no Bias Isur. Third question, establishing the kashrus of the Vlad, at least for most poskim, whose child is it? Or better, who is the father of the child? Does the child have a father? Or is it possible for a child to be born without a father? Can a child be born with only a mother, at least only a mother in halacha, but no father in halacha? I suppose the technical question should be phrased is, does the baby have to send the donor of the sperm a Father's Day card? Or, as the child is usually presented to Rabbanim, we have to say Kaddish for him, we have to say Shiva for him. But more significantly, in terms of halacha, is he entitled to Yerusha? Is there their kurva mitzad ha'ov will be osir to females who are kravim on the father's side, not on the mother's side. And as we shall see later, does the father have any obligations vis-a-vis the child? And again, the Hagoas smak is usually cited in support of the position that although there is no iser, and although the child isn't a mamzer, but there is yichus mitzad ha'ov, because after all, what does the Hagoas smak say? We are concerned lest this woman recline or sit upon sazdinim sheshochav aleihem ish acher, lest with the passage of time we have a situation of och neisei achesei. He cannot marry his sister unless he and this young lady have a common father. A sibling relationship is established only through a maternal relationship or through a paternal relationship. In this case, the sibling relationship that would give rise to the incestuous relationship is paternal in nature, which means that he had to have a father. If he didn't have a father, then he could not have a sister mitzad ha'ov. The Hagoas smak is again usually cited by the Achronim who talk about AID as establishing that there is a relationship between the father and the child, and indeed for many of them this relationship is sufficient to exempt the male in question from further obligations regarding being boyo boino hamur b'teire, since he has already had a ben ubas through artificial insemination, through donor, but nonetheless he has sired a child. So the Hagoas smak is usually cited as indicating that there is a relationship between the father and the child, and it seems to me that that is the haskoma of Reif Poskim. The one exception is the sources cited in the Birkei Yosef, The Birkei Yosef in Ebn Ezer and Hilchos Pirkei Verivia had a different girsa in the Hagoas smak. The Birkei Yosef has a girsa in the Hagoas smak which renders this raya a nullity. And the reading in the Birkei Yosef is not that this is an och neisa achesai, but that it is somehow doime l'och neisa achesai. And the flavor that one has is that in terms of genetics, this isn't a very good idea, but there will not be a technical incestuous relationship. And if that is the correct reading of the Hagoas smak, then it can only mean that there is no relationship whatsoever between the father and the child who is born of artificial insemination. However, it seems to me that the vast majority of Poskim are in agreement that there is this type of relationship between the donor and the child who is born. There is one other question with regard to AID, and it applies in surrogate motherhood as well. And that is, even if one were somehow to condone all of this, at least post factum, is it permissible to conceal either paternal identity in the case of AID from the child, or maternal identity in the case of surrogate motherhood? The question of denying maternal rights to the natural mother of baby M is very much akin to this problem. Not that you cannot deny the technicalities of maternal rights without allowing the child to be aware of the identity of the mother, but certainly if this would lead to a situation in which the records are sealed and the child will never become aware of the identity of the mother, it is precisely the same question which arises in AID with regard to whether or not that procedure may licitly be undertaken in situations in which the child will never know who his real father was, and that is indeed what happens in most situations involving AID, if not all. There is certainly a desire on the part of the donor not to be identified with the child, and a desire to conceal paternity, and no doubt in terms of surrogate motherhood, were that to be accepted, there would be a similar desire to conceal the maternal identity and not to allow the child to become aware of the identity of the natural mother. The consideration that must be mentioned in that context is a tshuva nigras mesha with regard to adoption. And there is precisely the same problem with regard to sealed adoptions. Reb Moshe's major concern with regard to adoption as customarily practiced in this country is that every attempt is made to prevent the adopted child from ever learning the identity of his natural parents. Says Reb Moshe, any complicity in that type of an attempt is a violation of an Iser D'oraisa, the Iser of Molo Haoretz Zimo, the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Lamed Zayin. The Gemara says that while polygamy is permissible, nevertheless a man may not have a wife in every port. He may not have wives and hence families in different cities under circumstances such that one family does not know of the existence of another family. The problem is that with the passage of time, the children may grow to maturity, may meet one another, know that they do not share a common mother, do not realize they share a common father, hence nimtza och and the Gemara says that anything that contributes to such a situation of molohor et zimo, is osir. And Reb Moshe applies the same principle in adoption and says that if taking a child from natural parents and concealing their identity from them can lead to a situation in which the child grows up and can marry a relative of the opposite sex without knowing that the person is a relative, anyone who contributes to the generation of such a situation has transgressed the molo horet zimo, the same svara, the same considerations pertain in situations of that sort. That's, of course, we're talking about Jews. I'm talking only about Jews today. That certainly applies to a situation in which you have AID involving a Jewish donor, and the child grows to maturity, is not aware of the identity of his father, is not aware of any other children born to that father, sired by that father, or of the existence of any other relatives who are also to him as relatives on his father's side. And the same applies to surrogate motherhood, were the identity of the natural mother to be concealed from the child. So much for the AID considerations. And there's certainly nothing novel in surrogate motherhood as far as AID is concerned. Surrogate motherhood typically involves insemination by the male who has entered into the contract. He is in exactly the same position as the donor in artificial insemination, which is used for purposes of circumventing the non-fertility of the woman's husband. The reason for surrogate motherhood is different, but the artificial insemination process is the same. The shilus and the analysis of the shilus of artificial insemination is certainly identical as in AID. In surrogate motherhood, there are further complications or additional shilus and considerations of halacha which arise with regard to the enforceability of the contract. Once the contract has been entered into and the woman has agreed to be inseminated, whether properly or improperly is really irrelevant as far as halacha is concerned, because illicit contracts are enforceable in halacha as distinguished from other systems of law. The question then becomes whether the contract is an enforceable contract. As the question is formulated in other forums, the question becomes whether this is a contract for the sale of a baby or whether it is a contract for personal services, or at least so I'm told the question is to be formulated. Somehow, if it's a contract for the sale of a baby, that is automatically unenforceable, at least in the modern mind. And indeed, there are laws in all jurisdictions in this country against baby selling. It becomes not only unenforceable, but it also becomes a criminal offense. I would submit that as far as halach is concerned, maybe it's repugnant, I don't know, I won't talk about that, but it certainly is not grounds for non-enforceability of a contract. And my source, to the extent that there is one, is a Sefer Hasidim. In Sefer Hasidim, one finds the following, I don't quite know what to call it, the following segula. Everybody knows that when somebody gets sick, there's an Eitzah. Shinui Hashem, you change the person's name. It's a skula. The school is based upon metaphysical considerations. There has been a gzar din on one individual. If you make a shinui Hashem, then the Bezdin Shalmaila will have to reopen the case because he's now a new person. And once you've reopened the case, who knows what schusim may be found, and maybe this time he'll be Yetze Zakai Bedinoi. But there are two ways to change a name. You can change your name, or you can change the patronym. You can change your father's name. The only problem is that, and this is Negei and Hilchus Gittin in many cases, a shaila that exists today in Russia. There are people out there who have decided to give their father's names, not themselves' names. They're Bali Tshuva, Mavakshe Hashem, not Bali Tshuva. They were never Avaryonim, but the fathers never had Hebrew names, so they go to Shul, and the Zakenim and the Beis HaKnesses give the father's names, and now problems come with Gittin, people who are signing as Edim on the get, whether they can sign with the name that has been given to the father. That's a problem that I wrote about in one of the issues of Or HaMizrach. But in Halacha, most Achrayim maintain that a person is a Bailim with regard to himself and regard to his own name. He can change his name whenever he wants to. But he's not a Balabos with regard to his father's name. He can't change his father's name. And apparently that was recognized by Sefer Hasidim as well. Because Sefer Hasidim gives you an Eitz. If you have children who die very young, what is the skula? What should you do? Says the Sefer Hasidim, you should go to a good friend and tell the good friend to bring wine and bread, and the friend should say, Holocha kikar lechem, Holocha yayin, and in return he gets the child. So the child now becomes the son of this other individual rather than the son of the natural parents. This is clearly a form of Shinui Hashem designed to have the same effect as normal Shinui Hashem has, only it involves what is at least pro forma the sale of a child. And this type of sale is not a criminal act in Halacha. Now, of course, this was form, not substance, but in general, the sale of children, repugnant as it may seem, does not seem to me to involve an act which can, by any stretch of the imagination, be labeled as criminal insofar as Halacha is concerned. That doesn't mean the society doesn't have the right to legislate against it, such things. But in terms of the categories of Halacha, child selling is not a criminal offense in Halacha. Nevertheless, it seems to me that this is a non-enforceable contract. It's non-enforceable for a variety of reasons. First of all, the contract typically is executed before the woman becomes inseminated. At that point, the uber is a dover shaloi bol olam. A sale of a dover shaloi bol olam is null and void. It's simply vacuous. It doesn't exist. Moreover, Hachzokas Yelodim is not something which is nitfas b'mechira. Even if you regard it as a schus, as a privilege, or a right, it's an intangible right which is not nitfas in kinyonim. Is not a right but an obligation. And if you are dealing with obligations, you cannot contract out of obligations vis-a-vis a third party. This contract between the male in question and the so-called surrogate mother with regard to the disposal of the custody of a child is a contract which doesn't necessarily have a third party beneficiary. Or perhaps I should say, the third party is not necessarily the beneficiary. It is a contract with regard to the rights that can be asserted by the third party, namely the child, and this is not subject to disposition by either the father or the mother. Moreover, there is a clear source in Halacha, Tshuvas Mabit, cited by the Be'er Heitiv in Simin Pebez Nevnezer. Even when in Halacha a mother would get custody of a child, daughter, or a male less than 5 years of age, and the mother has
I think I'm going to say.
Okay.
Everyone was not their AIH. Not their submission.